on the Davidson Sports Network. The Bob McKillop Show is on the air, powered by Ortho Carolina. The Bob McKillop Show is brought to you by Bearings, Innovative Strategies and Solutions, Pepsi, born in the Carolinas, Atrium Health, make every day the best day yet, and by Ortho Carolina, you improved. Now, here's the voice of Davidson basketball, Jared Letch, joining head coach Bob McKillop.
Welcome inside the Vance Athletic Center on the campus of Davidson College. This is the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina, alongside head coach Bob McKillop. I'm Jared Letch, and we're glad you've decided to join us as we get set to tackle a number of topics here this afternoon, starting with an impressive past week of A-10 games for the Wildcats. And coach, let's start with last Tuesday night here at Belk Arena. The Cats defeated Fordham. That final score, 79-49, and we've touched on it, but ball movement was a beautiful thing in that game. The team was locked in, assisting 25 times on 27 made baskets while turning it over just four times.
Well, we shot the ball very well, and I think our defense got us into our offense. So when you get a stop and you take it off the backboard, rather than have to take it through the net and let the defense get entrenched, we're in transition, and it makes that first pass easy. And we certainly had a first pass easy, which made the second pass easy and the third pass and so on down the line.
John Axel, in particular, 13 assists for him that night, surpassing Chris Alpert for second place all time in that category. And we've touched on it. What makes John so good in those scenarios?
Well, he's got the ability to threaten people by getting to the rim because he has done that for so many times during his career. He's got the ability to knock down a three-point shot, which he has done so many times. So with that threat of having to be defended at the arc and also defended at the rim, he's really developed that ability to have the middle game where he'll come to a jump stop and find people.
Now, you look at the Joneses during that game. Mike Jones enjoys playing against Fordham, I guess, because he put up 15 in both cases. And then Bates was 3 of 4 for 8 points as well.
You know, we've really worked a lot with our big guys about shooting the ball from the three-point line. And it's been a very, very encouraging sign to see the progress that they've had since back in October. And of course, Mike has always been a great shooter. Bates' percentage, when you look at where he was in December and you look at where he is right now, absolutely sensational.
And that's a good segue for us, Coach, because I wanted to touch on Luka in that game. Showcasing his perimeter game, he hit 2 3-pointers. How important is it for teams to respect the outside shooting of the bigs, and what does that do for the continuity of the rest of the offense?
It really stretches the defense and does not allow a defender to camp himself in the paint and protect the rim and protect against our cuts. So when you have a guy like Bates or Mike or Luka or David stretching out to the arc and being able to be a threat as a three-point shooter, it opens up driving lanes and it opens up cutting lanes.
One other moment toward the end of that game, Drew Dibble stood out. He got the crowd up. He got his bench up. He hit his final 2 shots, 5 points. Really a tireless worker and a guy that can hit it from the outside, can he?
You know, we'll come back from a road trip and he'll go right onto the gun in Vance to just practice, to get a workout. After a game here in Belk Arena, he'll stay around after and get a workout. Feverish, relentless, passionate worker, and has been superb in terms of helping us by being such a valuable member of our scout team.
So moving on to Friday, the Wildcats concluded the week with a win on Valentine's Day in snowy Olean, New York, defeating St. Bonaventure 93-64 on the national stage. And coach, staying perfect now at 10-0 in Valentine's Day games. The win wasn't surprising, but the margin of victory for some was. What was clicking to allow the Wildcats to dominate that game?
Well, we'll disagree with the win being not surprising. We were not favored to win the game, so it was a terrific win in a great atmosphere, an electric environment, national TV, and our guys didn't miss a beat from Tuesday night in terms of moving the ball, spreading it around, opening up driving lanes. Again, Mike hit a couple of early threes that really stretched their defense. So I thought we had a great inside-outside attack, and our shooting percentage really reflected that.
Another guy that played really well, his first double-double of his career was Nelson Bochy-Yeadom. He joined us for postgame on the radio show, and I know you've been proud of his effort and continued improvement. He's really become a valuable piece of this team.
You know, Jared, to see what he did last year where he was a DNP, did not play in so many of the games, and then to get to the point this year where, you know, he's almost averaging 12, 13 minutes a game and to perform as well as he has, a double-double, and that's just sensational to have him get a double-double with such limited time on the court experience-wise. And then I think he was in the game for maybe 20, 22 minutes, but just superb to see him do so well. And that's a tribute to him, his relentless work ethic, and also the confidence the assistant coaches have given him. Our assistant coaches have been just magnificent about the way they work with him extra.
And in that game, strong collective defensive effort as well, dominating on the glass, 41-25 against a team in St. Bonaventure that I think was plus 7 in conference play, leading the way. When you look at that result, is that sheer will, connectedness, or a variety of things working together?
A variety of things working together. I think things are contagious in basketball. You know, emotionally contagious. You make a shot that feeds your defense. You stop on defense, it feeds your offense. You make a three, you make another three. And I think it gives you great energy. And at the end of the day, it's the energy, it's the focus, and it's the toughness. And I think we showed great energy and great focus against St. Bonaventure.
When we dissected the box score after the game, you could see the balanced scoring effort across the board. A week prior, only had 4 players score. How encouraging was that as well, that so many guys were involved?
Well, I'm not sure many people recognize this, but 8 shots was the most shots that anyone on the team took. And I don't know how it was distributed in terms of how many guys took 8 shots, but when you're able to have a game in which the scoring is so balanced, but no one gets more than 8 shots, that's a pretty good statement about an equal opportunity offense, which is what we've always aspired to have.
We've spoken about Lee and his energy that he brings into the lineup offensively. I know you all are continuing to work at the defensive end as well. Is that correct?
He's doing extra work defensively. He's gotten significantly better. And we're just thrilled at what he's doing for us as a freshman. His IQ is significantly higher than your typical freshman, particularly coming from an international background. And in many ways, he reminds us of a better version of Oscar Mickelson. And we saw Oscar had a sensational freshman year and a sensational senior year. And I think Lee is having that kind of year for us that brings great memories of what Oscar did. And he was such a vital part of our entire offense and defense.
When you look back at those 2 games last week, what was your biggest takeaway from the team efforts?
Well, the quarterbacking by John Axel Goodmanson, I thought that was sensational. I think the cutting and the screening by Carter and by Kellen, by Bates, by Luca, by Nelson, by Mike, we just did such a great job. And I think Lee obviously had terrific scoring performances, but his cutting, I think, has really, really helped us significantly.
And you've stressed playing for March. How do you feel about that right now?
We're moving forward, and it's a day-by-day process, and we can't look too far ahead. And I want us focused exclusively on what we control. And the only thing we control right now is what we're going to do at practice today.
That'll take us into our first break. When we come back, we'll hit a hodgepodge of topics and answer some fans' questions. This is the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina from Learfield IMG College. Welcome back to the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. Jared Latch, Bob McKillop, back with you. And coming off All-Star Weekend, many know that your son Brendan has worked inside the NBA office for several years and assumed many of his duties that our athletic director Chris Clooney had with NBA International and Operations. Can you fill fans in a bit on the various aspects of his job?
Yeah, he works for NBA International as a director. I don't know exactly the title that he has, but for instance, he was running, organizing their camp conjunctive with the NBA All-Star Game, Basketball Without Borders Camp. And Chris Clooney is the guy, was the trendsetter for this. He's the guy that really put his fingerprints all over youth international basketball in the NBA and was sensational in the efforts he made and the ideas he had. And Brendan was sort of at his side watching this go on when Brendan first broke into the NBA office, and Chris gave him a great education, and Brendan's done a marvelous job of picking up what Chris left behind for him, and I think he enjoys his work thoroughly, and we spoke last night, and he was very, very engaged with the All-Star Game, with the whole weekend, and of course with the Basketball Without Borders camp.
Somewhat related, most youth and high school seasons are wrapping up now or very soon. As a basketball coach by profession, how did you handle watching your kids, Karen, Brendan, Matt, as they grew up, as a father of two and having two boys? Maybe you can foreshadow, or just how did that work for you?
You know, I would go to as many games as I could. Unfortunately, Karen was a terrific tennis player at North Mac, and rarely did I get to see her play. And that was at a time in which I was overly consumed, almost erratically consumed. And I've fortunately learned from that experience and spent as much as time as I could watching Brendan and Matt both play at Charlotte Catholic, where they had outstanding careers. But you'd go to a game, and a lot of parents would look at me during sessions of the game, actions in the game, looking for a reaction from me. So I had to be poker-faced throughout. I know it was a difficult ride home from those games for both Matt and Brendan, because I was rather critical of what they did or what they didn't do, and it was almost as if they didn't want to get in the car with me after the game.
How hard was that to stay stoic? Is that just where it would come out then in the car, because you're holding it in the whole time?
Yeah, you know, and I share this story. It was towards the Brendan's senior year, and there was a particular referee who noticed me as soon as I walked into the gym, and I sat poker-faced throughout the first quarter, and he called a foul on Brendan, and as he did it, he demonstrated towards me what Brendan's number was and looked straight at me as he made the call. He did this for a second time on a foul for Brendan. He did this for a third time on a foul. So clearly he was getting my attention. By the fourth time he did it, I could not stay poker-faced anymore, and I said something like, you're a bozo, or something like that. He threw me out of the gym. You know, it was just one of those experiences, and the athletic director knew that it was very awkward for me, but also knew that it was very unjustified to be tossed out of the gym for calling a referee a bozo. And it's one of those experiences you have as a dad.
Back to Friday night for a moment. Peyton Aldridge, one of the all-time greats, was in the building at the Riley Center for the Wildcats win. No, he stopped by the locker room after the game. Did you have time to catch up with Peyton?
Well, maybe Peyton's presence at our pregame meal was what energized our guys and inspired our guys. And to see our guys embrace him during our pregame meal, have him sit there with us, engage with our guys, he's a very, very, very special part of who we are and what our program is. And he was home for 4 or 5 days, and to drive from his home in Ohio up to Olean to watch our game with his parents, his sister and brother-in-law, was a great statement about his loyalty and love for our program.
Coach, one of our fan questions was about expounding on some of the recruits, but I want to hit one in particular, and that's Sam Menenga, who is the first 6 or 7 weeks that he's been here in his redshirt year. What has that been like, his progress working with the team?
Well, first of all, the transition that occurs, because he graduated high school in December, that's why he begins now. But a transition coming from New Zealand is a little different than coming from a 6-hour time frame like Luca. And he comes in which he's not able to play. So there's another transition that occurs. So his family is at a different time zone, significantly different, almost a day ahead of us. He comes at a time where he can just watch and not play and get really antsy about wanting to play. And he comes to practice, and he does a tremendous job. What an addition to our scout team. So he's handled that transition marvelously, and I give tremendous credit to him, plus Brian Sullivan, Will, Matt, Kevin, and Josh, because they have really helped him make that transition. Not easy for anybody. Fortunately, Sam's mom, Magda, arrived on Friday night while we were in Buffalo, and so she's here for about a week, and we're delighted that she's visiting us and giving Sam a sense of home, and I hope she enjoys her stay here with us.
We'll take another fan question, Coach. This says, do you think the A-10 conference is the right long-term fit for Davidson? In parentheses, it does seem like a great conference. And what do you see as the pros and cons from a recruiting and or competition standpoint?
Well, us getting into the A-10 conference changed the whole dynamic of our program. Look at the beautiful facilities we have. Look at the crowds we draw. Look at the national attention we get. This is a home for us that we have welcomed with open arms, and I think we've done a pretty good job of making our transition from the Southern, where we have great, great experiences, memories, and friends, into the A-10. So that is a real big plus for us, the Atlantic 10 Conference.
This more of an internal question between the basketball programs. There seems to be a very strong level of camaraderie between the men's program and the women's program. What type of collaborations happen? Is there a sharing of insight? How does that work?
Yeah, you know, yesterday we had practice, and it ended about 1:30, and the women's game against Duquesne was at 1 o'clock. And as soon as the game ended, some of our guys, we were in a lifting situation also, but we came back for the – our players came back for the fourth quarter. Our coaching staff was there as soon as the game ended. And I think it's really special that it means – as much as it does for our men's team to be at the women's game as it for our women to be at the men's game. And there's this chemistry that exists. They're cheering for each other. They're rooting for each other. And you see many of our guys sit courtside and either challenge the opposing players or encourage our own players. And they had a great win yesterday. They're down two ladies. Sarah Donovan and Rosie are both out right now, and to see those ladies step up and make big shots at big times, particularly Chloe and Katie, were tremendous yesterday with making those big shots.
Well, it's time for another quick break. When we come back, we'll look ahead at the upcoming week as we preview the Wildcats' next opponent at St. Joseph's tomorrow night up in Philadelphia as the Bob McKillop Show rolls on, powered by Ortho Carolina from Learfield, IMG College. Welcome back to Davidson College. Jared Latch along with Bob McKillop. Time to look ahead at our next matchup, and that's the St. Joseph's Hawks. You look at St. Joe's right now, overall record of 4-21, 0-12 in the A-10, coming off a loss at Rhode Island on Saturday where they were without Ryan Daly. And as John Feinstein put it well after George Mason knocked off VCU last week, the Atlantic 10 has proven its strength, and no team can be taken for granted. It was an overtime win, the first matchup between these teams, 89-83 here at Belk. And we've talked on a number of occasions about looking at that second matchup. You don't just look at the first. There's a lot that goes in, correct?
Absolutely correct. The number of close games in which St. Joe's is leading at halftime, and they're right there. And I think that's a tribute to Billy Lang, their coach, great experience, a terrific coach who really inspires and motivates and energizes his guys so that they're going to play for 40 minutes. This is a tough team. This is a team that can make three-pointers. This is a team that can drive the basketball. It's also somebody that can defend at all five spots because they're very interchangeable.
Now, Ryan Daly, want to talk about him more. He leads the Hawks, averaging over 20 points a game. He's a player that seems to have no fear and really plays freely when he's on the court. Does that make him a dangerous player on a team that really has nothing to lose?
Well, he has great IQ, first of all. Instincts are superb. Experienced, skilled, but the IQ. He's the son of a coach. His dad's a coach at Penn State. He's going to make threes. As I think he had six against us in the first game. He's going to get fouled, and he's going to make his foul shots. But he's also going to be able to get to the rim, post up. So he scores in an extraordinary number of ways. And you saw the way he scored at the end of our game to send it into overtime. One of the great highlight plays of the year, I'm sure, for ESPN.
So this team also, they had some quality non-conference wins. UConn, Bradley, Penn, just a few. Why have they struggled when you look, and you mentioned the close games. You've been able to pinpoint?
Well, they've got some young players, and young players are adapting, and it's a whole new system. There are some holdovers, but even Ryan sat out last year, so he's, in a sense, a young player in a St. Joe's uniform. So I think that the youth factor is now starting to become acclimated to what Billy wants, and I think they're showing it. And, you know, I think it was a 3-point, 4-point game at halftime against Rhode Island at Rhode Island. So this is a team that at home is incredibly dangerous, and as we found out on the road, they're also equally dangerous.
So we talked about Daly. Who else should we be aware of from a player standpoint?
Well, Cameron Brown, Miles Douglas, Lorenzo Edwards, Ramir Moore. You could pick your poison. They're all going to shoot the three. I think they've got 10 guys who have made double-digit threes for the year. So it's a team that's going to shoot threes. They shoot a lot of them. They shoot, I think, an average of, they make it an average of 9 a game. That's pretty impressive. They do get fouled. Their offensive rebounding is, despite they're not very big, but they are very engaged. And they do a superb job. They're out-rebounding people on the offensive glass, I think, almost 2 a game.
Lay out your initial keys for us to this game tomorrow night.
Well, we got to certainly be concerned about the offensive glass. Limit their offensive. Don't give them a lifeline. Don't give them a second opportunity, because their second opportunity is going to turn into an open three-pointer. And that's the second part of the puzzle, open three-pointers. We cannot allow the open three-pointers. But the danger is when you deny the three-pointers, when you try to run them off the line, they put it on the floor, and they're very good at getting to the rim. So somehow we've got to manage closing down the driving lanes with crowds, but also being out on a three-pointer and then finishing off the possession with a rebound.
Coach, we will mention a positive note here before I let you go to our fans and our friend, Associate AD Scott Applegate. He's recovering well from a heart procedure last week at Emory in Atlanta. Sounds like he's on his way to a healthy recovery.
Sure is, and he's still in Atlanta. And I saw a picture yesterday where one of our former assistant coaches and former captains, Jason Zimmerman, who's the head coach at Emory, actually visited Scott in the hospital. And there are a lot of smiles between the two of them. They have, of course, great memories here when Scott was the trainer here. And Jason, I think, was down 5 points at halftime against Brandeis, who had beaten him earlier this year. And I think they outscored him by 40 points in the second half. So Jason had a lot to be happy about, and certainly seeing Scott uplifted his spirits even more. And Scott, glad to see that he's doing so well.
Well, Coach, thank you for your time this afternoon. We'll see you in a little bit as we hop a flight to Philadelphia.
Thanks, Jared.
We're going to take one final timeout. We'll return and wrap things up here on the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. Welcome back to the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. I want to remind you, you can join us for our next broadcast tomorrow night, February 18th, as the Wildcats travel to St. Joe's, a 6:30 tip-off time. Our pregame will begin at 6:15. The Wildcats will then host Rhode Island. That's on Saturday, annual Stripe Out at Belk Arena, game presented by Pepsi on Saturday at 5:30. Our next coach's show will come your way next Monday, February 24th at noon. For Bob McKillop, I'm Jared Latch. Have a great rest of your President's Day. Thanks for joining us. And so long for now. This has been the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina from Learfield, IMG College.
This has been the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. The Bob McKillop Show has been brought to you by Bearings, innovative strategies and solutions. Pepsi, born in the Carolinas. Atrium Health, make every day the best day yet. And by Ortho Carolina, you improved. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Davidson Sports Network.